This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi there, this is the Saturday Quiz. My name's John Leary, and as always, I'm going to ask the questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and my guests are going to answer them. The two people with me this week are about to perform together in the Australian premiere production of Milked by Simon Longman. This mercurial, darkly funny, and deeply human play tells the story of friendship, purpose, loneliness, and a cow named Sandy. Welcome to the show, Lawrence Boxall and William McKenna.
Oh, hello, Johnny.
Hello, John,
you
Leary.
Two. It's so lovely to have you back on the podcast.
Oh, lovely to see your face and hear your voice.
Indeed.
So happy to be back, and I apologise to any listener who is sick of my voice, but happy to be back as a guest.
It is so nice to have you back on this side, or well, on that side, I guess, of the microphone, of the podcast, no longer asking the questions. For those who don't know maybe what we're talking about, Will took over as host of this podcast sometime last year, so I could go and have a exciting family holiday.
Yeah,
and
how was that?
Now he's back. Oh, it was amazing.
You went everywhere in Italy, didn't you?
Went everywhere, pretty much everywhere in Italy.
Yeah, there are statues of him now in various, you know, piazzas around the place.
Celebrating my
But like
holiday.
6 foot tall as well. Yeah.
Yeah, life-size. Life-size.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
Now, we're not talking about me, though. We're talking about you, and we're talking about the play Milked, which is on at 45 Downstairs, which is located in the easy-to-remember 45... Flinders Lane in Melbourne.
And it's downstairs.
It's downstairs.
Tell me about Milked.
Yeah, Milked is, it's a fantastic tragicomedy. It's about, yeah, these two boys in rural Herefordshire. For those who don't know where Herefordshire is, it's the county that sort of borders Wales. So it's like very West England. And all their mates have sort of left and gone to the big cities. And, you know, Will's character, Paul, has gone to university and then come back home to this tiny regional, almost hamlet, if you will. And Snowy, my character, is this, you know, farm boy, sort of city mouse, country mouse style thing. And they're at this crossroads where they're leaving teenagedom, entering into early adulthood, and everyone else has gone away. And everyone seems to be doing so much better. And they're trying to search for meaning in this sort of expanse, in this beautiful expanse of the countryside. And then one day they come across a giant cow lying down in a field really poorly, and just for something to do to add some direction to their lives so they can feel they have an effect on something, they decide, right, we're going to heal the cow. And
should add that the cow is massive.
It is a gigantic cow. And yeah, and so it's about them and their sort of exploits trying to heal the cow while dealing with a bunch of other stuff. So it's the way I sort of describe it is it's like Banshees of Inisherin meets Waiting for Godot if Godot was a giant cow named Sandy.
Okay. Interesting. But the cow is in this play.
We are not saying a thing until you come and see it.
Oh, okay. I see.
No spoilers for Cowden.
Far out.
Yeah.
Wow. Moo. Great. Well, I can't wait to see it. Previews start next week. On the 28th, I think.
Yes. That's right.
And you run until the 10th of March.
I tell you what, it's a kind of a perfect night out because it's less than 90 minutes, this show. And you get a whole package deal, a whole full meal of a play that is both funny and the tragedy part of tragicomedy, but also will make you feel good and highly relatable. It's just damn fun as well.
And it's like curtains up at 7:30. You'll be out by 9, you know. It's great.
Oh, easy. Great. home by 9:30 and you send the babysitter home. Good. Now, as you both know, you especially, Will, will remember that on this podcast, I ask my guests if they have a favorite piece of trivia. Do either of you have a favorite piece of trivia that you would like to share?
Okay, yes. So last time I didn't have one, and I was embarrassed, I think is the word. So I have one now.
I've come prepared.
This one I heard last week, where Australia is wider than the moon.
Oh, really?
Did we know this?
Australia is wider than the moon.
So I wrote it down. So the moon sits at 3,400 kilometers in diameter, while Australia's diameter from east to west is almost 4,000 kilometers.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Wow.
That's cool. So if that, I like that very much. Thank you.
So
yeah.
you drive from coast to coast. You've driven the moon.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
That's cool. What about you, Larry? What's your bit of trivia for us?
That McDonald's once created bubblegum flavored broccoli in order to get kids to eat vegetables.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And what happened to that technology? That wonderful, wonderful technology.
Yeah, where is that? Can I buy that?
Yeah. My knowledge of this is really, really limited. I think it was in America.
You know that much.
I know that much. Apparently, they never disclosed what the true bubblegum flavor was, how they added it to the broccoli. All we know is they did, and they trialed it, and they tried to make veggies more appealing, and it did not work.
Oh, so it didn't work. They didn't do it.
Yeah, I think they introduced it like very briefly and then scrapped it.
Wow. I mean, you don't go to McDonald's. That's not why you're going to McDonald's. You don't go to McDonald's to get your vegetable intake, do you?
And like, why bubblegum on broccoli?
Not anymore.
Like, you know, you could go for, you know, sweet and sour or something that seems more in the realm of something that would traditionally go with broccoli. But just
it's true. Just a bunch of kids just chewing on their broccoli, not swallowing it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Being like, if I swallow this,
blow bubbles with broccoli. Yeah, that cursed. Maybe broccoli flavored bubblegum is next.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Willy Wonka.
Maybe.
Okay.
Thinking about it. All right. Well, they are both quite bonkers pieces of trivia. Thank you very much for providing those. Shall we crack into the quiz?
Oh, let's.
I'm so excited and terrified at the same time. Let's do it.
All right. Question number one. Which 74-year-old singer-songwriter this month entered the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time since 1997 with the song Turn the Lights Back On? Do you know this?
Turn the lights back on. Is that the song?
I don't know.
Lights will be on.
Turn the lights back
turn
on.
Turn those on.
What, 74-year-old?
74.
Yeah, he's 74, singer-songwriter.
And they got on the Billboard with that song.
Well, I don't know what on earth you're both singing, but yes, the title of the song.
We were just making up lyrics, hoping and melody.
Yeah, I don't
melody.
Think Will was. I think you were, Lawrence.
Oh, I definitely was. I'll admit to that.
Actually thought he was singing an actual song.
Wait, okay, no, Joni Mitchell Joni Mitchell did not write that one.
Well, I know Tracy Chapman, like, entered back on...
Yes,
with Fast Cars.
Right.
But how old is Tracy Chapman?
Tracy Chapman is not that old.
Not that old.
Yeah. Sounded a bit defensive.
74.
There, John.
Well, on her behalf. I mean,
she's not here. Is she just like waiting in the Zoom?
Sorry, Tracy.
Or now it's awkward. I was going to get her to, you know, do a number. But she's not going to. But also, the song "Turn the Lights Back On" is titled "Turn the Lights Back On," not Fast Car. So it's not Tracy Chapman.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you
sing
it?
Let me tell you this.
I don't know it at all.
This artist has had 3 Billboard number ones in their very long career.
Okay.
The first in 1980, then 1983, and then 89. Their last song in the Billboard 100, which was, if you remember the question, in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That song was a version of Make You Feel My Love. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Do you know who wrote that song?
Oh, Burt Bacharach? I don't know.
No, but it is a very famous singer-songwriter.
I I have absolutely you're probably more idea.
Do you know the song that I'm talking about?
No, I don't think I even know that song.
You've heard Adele sing it. Yeah.
Yeah. You would have heard the Adele version. The Adele.
Come on, Johnny, give us a power ballad.
Not a chance. No, that was actually written by Bob Dylan.
Oh. Was it really?
But this person released it before Bob released it.
Could it have been Dolly Parton?
Oh, that's another interesting guess.
Got a resurgence now? Oh, I don't know. 74.
74. Barbara Streisand.
No.
These are some camp answers.
It's
funny, all the people that you've been naming have been lady singers.
Oh.
Aha.
This
is a man singer.
Oh, is that Mr. Wonder?
Who?
Stevie Wonder.
Oh, Stevie Wonder. Mr. Wonder.
They haven't been introduced yet, so he has to be Mr. Wonder.
It's not Stevie Wonder.
Oh.
I'll give you another clue. Okay. This will definitely give it away. Ready? In February 1974, that's the first time that they appeared on the Billboard charts.
Right.
With a song called...
Oh, here we go.
Piano Man.
Oh, Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
Oh.
Of course it is.
Billy Joel is back in the charts, baby.
Wow.
I love that man. Oh, cool.
So wow. Turn the Lights Back On is Billy Joel's new... hit.
Yes, because he hasn't written, he hasn't done a new song in ages, right? He just does his old collection.
He does his back catalogue.
I saw him at the MCG.
Brilliant.
About a year and a half ago, and I was the youngest person there.
By a long way.
It was a hoot.
Was it?
It was great. I mean, people were standing up and then sort of like arching their backs and sitting back down, but I was up, I was dancing.
Wow.
He knows how to put on a show.
Yeah. Do you think it was as good as Taylor Swift's show or better?
Oh, don't bring Taylor Swift up.
Oh, no?
When Lawrence is here.
Oh, why? Why? Oh, no. We're going to get into some dark territory.
No, I don't want Swifties coming after me.
No, I loved it. I watched it. I went to her third night in Melbourne.
Did you?
And immaculate. Yeah, insane. Yeah. And she has really stepped the game up, and every act in a stadium tour needs to follow that.
Wow.
And that she has set the standard.
Did she do Piano Man?
No, and neither did
Billy
she didn't sing
no?
Turn the Lights Back On, but there were lots of lights on in the stadium.
Yeah.
They didn't need to be nice. Turned back on. They were on from the get-go.
No, they were on the whole time.
My God.
All right, very well done. You finally got there. Billy Joel is back in the charts with Turn the Lights Back On. Question number two. What colour are the stars on the flag of the European Union?
Oh, they're yellow, aren't they?
They are yellow. Very well done, Lawrence.
They're yellow.
Do you know how many stars there are? Or can you describe the flag for me?
Yeah, well, it's a big circle of stars in the middle of a blue background.
Very well done. Yes, an azure field.
An azure field.
Well, that's how it's called in flag parlance. So it's an azure field with yellow stars.
Is it 16 or 17?
It's not. It's neither of those numbers.
No, then I guess I've got no idea.
Is it 18 or 19 or 20? Or is it 21?
Oh, you're close. You've got the numerals in the wrong order. It's 12.
Oh, okay.
Okay, moving along. Question number three. True or false? All rhinoceros are... herbivores.
Ooh.
Oh, they gotta be, right? That's gotta be true.
But what if one came across just like a dead bird and thought, you know, it's Thursday, I'm feeling adventurous, have a little nibble.
I mean, I don't know, I don't watch them closely. Yeah. I'm gonna say true. They have to be. They look like nice plant eaters.
I'm gonna say it's probably true, but I'm gonna say false.
You're going to say false just to cover the bases?
Just to be contrarian.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking there's so many different kinds of rhino. There's like Sumatran rhino, there's like black rhino, there's wide or white rhino. Some of them eat some kind of meat?
What? I mean, I am puzzled that because William is correct, of course. They're herbivores. What? Why? I'm intrigued as to why you think there'd be one.
Yeah.
You know, one species of rhinoceros that might
Well, it's like,
have,
you know, they're
become a carnivore.
It might be omnivorous, not a carnivore, but like omnivorous in that, you know, desperate times call for different measures and might shank something and eat it. We just don't know the private lives of rhinoceros.
Well,
these
there, days. Cannibals exist, and we didn't think humans would eat other humans.
No, but.
Well, hang on, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense. This is not where I thought this question was going to go, or indeed the answer.
This isn't where I thought this podcast would go.
Because I started with the clue that I was going to give you is that the 10 biggest land animals are all herbivores.
Oh, well, if you'd said that, I wouldn't like a numpty, would I?
So, I mean, rhinoceros are enormous. Yeah. They rank in terms of size and weight after they come fourth. Yeah. So the white rhino comes fourth after the three elephant species.
Yeah.
So effectively they're second in, you know, in terms of which land animal is bigger. But so my question, my follow-up question was going to be, why do herbivores outsize carnivores on land?
Because vegans are right.
If you want to be massive, be a vegan.
I don't,
no, do you know?
Well, I mean,
plant-based protein.
What I will tell you is that it's a matter of resources and how to obtain them. So,
I was going to say, are there just more plants in the world?
There is a lot of plant matter on Earth, which is relatively easy to obtain. You know, it doesn't run away and it doesn't fight back. So, if an animal is adapted to grazing, the resources are plentiful. And once an animal gets big enough, past a certain size, it basically doesn't have any predators.
Yeah, right.
But, yes, for land carnivores,
it's
a different story. There's less to eat. There's fewer animals to eat. Plus, being too big or too large would be detrimental to agility and its ability, an animal's ability to catch prey. But, interestingly, that equation flips in the water. So plant matter is much less abundant.
Mm.
So it's the carnivorous animals that dominate in terms of size.
Yeah.
And the herbivores are the little ones.
Wow.
So, I mean, we know that the whales are enormous.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
They're the biggest things. And they're all carnivores.
Right.
But they eat really, really tiny things, which is nuts. But yes, the southern...
They eat nuts?
They, if they can get their hands on them or their flippers on them.
Cashews? Okay.
The southern elephant seal, which counts as a marine animal rather than a land animal, is so massive or can be so massive that they can actually outweigh a rhinoceros.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
That is nuts.
So there's the nuts. Elephant seal. Elephant seals can be up to, I think, 5,000 kilos.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! That's so big.
That's so big.
But this is good to know that, because I'm bulking at the moment, so it's good to know I just need a plant-based diet.
You just need plant-based, and you just need
enemies will leave me alone too.
Yeah, the haters will hate, but they'll think twice about trying to eat you, I think.
Thanks for that, John Leary.
Good. All right. Where were we?
I believe we're at question two.
No, we are not going backwards. We're up to question number four. Here we go. 19th century British physician Thomas Hodgkin's name is most commonly associated with what type of cancer?
Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Nice, cheery question. Hodgkin's lymphoma is correct. Yeah. Well done.
Well done.
Thank you.
Do you know anything about Thomas Hodgkin?
Born in 1648, he invented apples and, you know, he was a bit of a philanderer.
You're way off.
Quite
notably not a philanderer at all.
Right, okay.
Actually. Yeah.
Like how that's the thing you pick up and not the fact he was born in 1648.
No, yeah, you're about 200 years early. What I appreciated in researching this guy is that he described the disease that bears his name, Hodgkin lymphoma, in 1832 in a paper titled On Some Morbid Appearances of the Absorbent Glands and Spleen. So...
Wow.
He was a writer too. Okay.
It took people a long time to say anything back in the olden days, didn't it?
It did. but just morbid appearances. You know, gross. All right, question number five. Thalassa, Proteus, and Triton are three of the 14 moons of which planet?
I'm going to say, well, what planet has 14 moons?
Well, that's the thing. You've got Jupiter, has a great many. But then Saturn also has like quite a substantial number, I believe, as well.
But I think Saturn is a lot more than 14.
A lot more than 14. Proteus? Triton.
Proteus, Triton, and Thalassa. Yeah, I reckon Proteus and Triton are going to get you there.
Yeah, no, it's Neptune, isn't it?
Neptune.
Yeah, because it's the aquatic gods or something.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Yes. Bingo. In Greek mythology, Triton and Proteus were sons of Poseidon.
Yeah.
And, of course, Poseidon is the Greek version of the
Roman
Neptune. Yeah. And
I've read Percy Jackson. Yeah, yeah, keep going.
So, yes, given that we derive the names of the planets from the Roman gods, and the moons are usually the offspring or the, you know, mythological offspring of the gods.
So is Triton the Roman or the Greek?
Triton is both.
Oh, it's the same in both languages. Yeah. Okay.
Triton was the name of one of Poseidon's sons.
Huh.
And then over time, the word Triton or the name Triton came to be the word for any kind of merman.
I've seen Little Mermaid. Yeah, yeah.
The moon Triton was the first moon discovered orbiting Neptune only a couple of weeks after the discovery of Neptune.
Oh, they worked fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they did.
Well, you'd hope if all your telescopes are pointing in the right direction, you'd pick up one or two things like flying around it, I suppose.
Sure. You know, Neptune was, apart from Pluto, Neptune was the last planet discovered.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was in like 1846 or something, wasn't it?
Something
it was like weird. Yeah.
Sure.
You remember? You were there?
Yeah, I was. And so was Hodgkins. He was there. He just finished perfecting pears and he was moving on to his next fruity
endeavor. He was 250 years old. That's
He was very old by that time.
Took a long time doing apples and pears.
It is the only large Triton I'm talking about now is the only large moon in the solar system with a retrograde orbit, which means that it orbits in the opposite direction of its planet's rotation. And because of that, it is thought that Triton is a dwarf planet that got captured by Neptune's, gravitational pull.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah, I've seen Lord of the Rings. And thus completes the trilogy of that joke.
I don't know how that one relates, but sure.
Oh, dwarf planet. I don't know, I went somewhere with it.
Dwarf planet, I see. Right, dwarves and elves and hobbits. Good, got it. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to the Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by William McKenna and Lawrence Boxall, and we are up to question number six. Theodore Geisel is the given name of... And this is a multiple choice.
Oh.
Do you want the options or have you got a guess for me? I love when my guests guess before they get the multiple choice.
May
choices.
I guess?
Yeah.
Is it Teddy Roosevelt?
You think he changed his surname from Geisel to Roosevelt?
You said it's better. Well, I would.
It's not Theodore Roosevelt. Lawrence, do you have a guess?
Joanna Lumley.
Nor is it Joanna Lumley. What if I gave you a clue and said it is an author?
Theodore. And did they change? Oh, did they change both names?
They do not use their name
at all.
At all.
Okay.
Can I get a contextual time period era?
No.
No.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
Stephen King.
Okay, Stephen King is okay. Your guess.
And my guess,
William McKenna,
is who wrote the Bible?
God.
Oh, sorry.
Whose real name was Theodore Geisel? Yeah. So well done, Will.
Oh, I think it's Roald Dahl.
Ah, interesting. All right. Good. Good guesses.
That can't be a real name.
Here are the options. Is it A, Mark Twain, B, Lewis Carroll, or C, Dr. Seuss? So neither of your options, neither Stephen King nor, who did you say?
God.
Roald Dahl.
You're not even listening to me, are you, John Lee? I'm on mute on your podcast. Okay, is it too obvious to go for Dr. Seuss? Because I do remember knowing that, I remember that is not the real name.
Seuss, yeah, and I don't think, and one of the options was Roald Dahl?
No, no, oh, that no. was that was Will's made up option.
That's right,
which
okay.
is incorrect.
It is, yeah, okay.
Same as yours. Yours is incorrect.
What? Okay.
I'll tell you this: all those names, Mark Twain, Lewis Carroll, Dr. Seuss, they're all.
I was going to say
nom de plumes.
Yeah,
right. Mark Twain was made up, but
so was Lewis Carroll, and so was Dr. Seuss, and one of those gentlemen was named Theodore Geisel.
I'd go Dr. Seuss.
I'm going to go crazy and go Lewis Carroll.
Okay. Well done, Lawrence. It was Dr. Seuss. And in fact, Zeus was his middle name, which was his mother's maiden name.
I think it's pronounced... isn't it supposed to be pronounced like Zeus or something?
No, Zeus? No one's doing that.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Even if it's supposed to be, no one's doing that. If I said, oh, is it Mark Twain, Lewis Carroll, or Dr. Seuss? You would have gone... You're pronouncing it.
I know, but like when it was in the middle name, like his mother's name, that's all right.
Do you know the nom de, well, the real names of Mark Twain? Obviously not, because it was an option on this.
Is it Matthew something?
No, it is Samuel Langhorne Clemens.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's his real name?
Yes.
And what about Lewis Carroll? Any ideas?
Well, he took a break from Joanna inventing Lumley. Fruit, but Hodgkin's.
Good.
Wasn't
good.
Hodgkin's.
Good. We're doing too many bits.
Very good. It was Charles Lutwidge Dodgson.
Oh, yeah. I'd have changed that.
Yeah. I think we all would have. All right. Question number 7. In mathematics. So here we go.
Oh, boy.
Are we all
this is my strong suit.
Hated maths.
Why are you laughing?
In mathematics, is pi a rational or irrational number?
Irrational.
Because it never completes itself.
Right? That's my definition of irrational.
That actually is correct.
And if you want to see this kind of dynamicism, come and see Milt. It'll be there for like an hour 15 or so.
You can get pie afterwards.
How do you know that?
I went to school in England.
Did you both go to school in England? No.
No,
actually, John Leary, I went to school in Australia. Thanks, Lawrence.
You just sound like you went to school in England.
Well, because apparently I've got a British accent, really good. I'll tell you what, I know the first 10 numbers of pi.
Go.
That's my hot party trick. 3.14159265
Wow. Wow, yeah. Tell and then it's 5.9 after that.
Tell me the last few digits of pi.
It goes two. Oh, actually, I can't remember those ones.
It ends in a 1.
That's two, right?
I don't know. No, so, well, can either of you explain what a rational or irrational number is?
Oh, if you cut back
because
to
I looked this up. I'll be honest. In researching this quiz, I looked what rational numbers are and irrational numbers are, and I got so depressed because I could understand what they were, but it still
baffled me. Is it something to do with it can't divide in on itself or something?
Yeah, nice. It is something like that. I, in anger, I think I closed the tab.
Generally, the only reason why I remember any of this is because it's the part of maths that when you're talking about it, it actually doesn't involve numbers when you're talking about like irrational or rational. Because you're talking about the concept of it and not the numbers. And
yeah.
Lawrence, so much of life is mathematics. This is what they're trying to teach you in year eight when they're teaching you trigonometry and all you want to do is go home and scream.
Yeah.
I am going to move right along to the rational question number eight.
We think.
Leo Fender, Les Paul, and Adolf Rickenbacker were designers of which musical instrument?
Guitar.
More specifically,
electric guitar.
Is the right answer. Very well done.
Lawrence, makes sense, doesn't it?
Did you know all of those names?
Yes.
Are you a guitarist?
No.
Why did you know that they were names of guitar makers?
Oh,
electric guitar makers.
I don't know. I don't know how I know that. But well, Fender, I mean, like Les Paul is so famous, and like Gibson is so famous, and I did know Rickenbacker as well. Hmm.
Well, I didn't say Gibson, yeah. Which is interesting.
Oh, what did you say?
That you said. Leo Fender.
Fender. Oh, yeah, Fender, yes.
Fender, Les Paul, and Rickenbacker.
I feel they're just synonymous with it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. They are.
His name is Leo Fender.
Leo Fender.
His real name is Clarence Leonidas Fender.
And you said there's an Adolf in there?
Yeah.
How
Adolf Rickenbacker.
So yeah, unfortunate. Right?
And he actually changed the spelling of his name to be less German, but it was not that much less. All right, question number nine.
Here we
We're
go.
Nearly there, folks. The Super Bowl 58 winning team are the Kansas City what? And there's a bonus point for naming which U.S. state the NFL team are based in.
So it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Is correct. Yeah. Very well done. Do
but
you know that
Kansas City,
William, because...
How dare you go to Taylor Swift?
Loves
how
Tay-Tay.
Dare you? How dare you? No, I know it, obviously, because it's mildly racist. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, no, it's not even mildly racist. I mean, the name has been a source of controversy for years.
Yeah.
Since the 60s,
really. There's several teams that are still, like, really...
There are fewer teams now, but the Kansas City Chiefs have to this date resisted efforts from Native Americans and their supporters who object to the use of images and names in a manner and context they consider derogatory. But yeah, since the 60s, protests and calls for boycotts of various sports teams have had little impact until only a few years ago in the like 2020s when teams in the US and Canada adopted new names and mascots. The Washington Redskins took on the new name Washington Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cleveland Indians, they dropped their mascot first, who was known as Chief Wahoo. And he was that very cartoonish, you know, cartoon of an Indian. And then a few years after that, they became the Cleveland Guardians.
Wow.
Proving that it's quite easy to change.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. It's
no skin off your nose. Just do it.
And in fact, the team, Kansas City Chiefs, when they were founded in 1959, they were in a different city. So they were called the Dallas Texans.
Oh, right.
But they relocated to Kansas City 4 years later.
Well,
they actually played in the very first Super Bowl. Anyway.
Oh, did they? Yeah. How'd they go?
They lost to the Green Bay Packers.
Well, this is my... To answer your second question,
because
Kansas City is not in Kansas State, right?
It is correct.
Is it in Texas because of...
I like where you're going, but they would have kept the name, probably, if they were in Texas.
That's a really good point.
That was one of the reasons that they changed the name, because they were no longer... We're not in Texas anymore, Toto. Nor were they in Kansas.
Where the Kansas City Chiefs, where their base is?
That's right. Where is Kansas City?
Oh.
Because
Arizona?
It's not actually in Kansas. There
is,
a place called Kansas City in Kansas.
Yeah.
What?
But it's not actually a city. It is counted as a suburb.
Yeah.
Of the actual Kansas City, which is just over the state line in a neighboring state.
Oh,
so do you know the states that border Kansas?
Wyoming.
Missouri?
Missouri is the right answer.
I was going to say Arkansas, because I always think like Kansas and Arkansas are next to each other, but I don't know if they are.
Missouri!
They're not.
Missouri!
Missouri is the right answer. Kansas City is actually in Missouri.
That seems... All right. Yeah.
Yes.
Unnecessarily complicated.
It is a little bit. All right, we are up to the final question.
Can I ask a question?
Wow.
Yeah. Like, in terms of point scores, we got all of them correct so far, right?
You know that I don't really keep a score, but in answer to your question, I guess.
Great.
Yeah?
That's good for me.
I mean, I'll be honest, it seems like Lawrence is doing a lot of the heavy lifting here in terms of the answers.
It's okay. In Milked, it's completely flipped. It's all Will, and I'm just like this side dish of wet lettuce that's there just to... Just to, you know, add some growth.
Lawrence is 50 years older than me, so he just knows more stuff.
Yeah, I'm 5 years older than Will, but what's fun about Milked is it's probably the only time that we'll ever be on stage together, because even though I'm 5 years older than Will, we go for all the same parts. And we went through like each other's sort of CVs, and we're like, oh yeah, I went for that. And then we talked about all the other stuff that we went for and neither of us got. So it's probably the only time we'll ever actually work together.
That is funny.
And the last, but that's just due to my new rider.
You just refuse to. It will be the last time that we perform together, actually.
I've so made come sure and see that. It. Come and see it quick.
All right, question number 10. In what year of the 2000s did the Iraq War begin?
It was, well, I should know this because my dad was in it. I think
your dad was in it?
Yeah.
Is your dad Saddam Hussein?
Johnny, no one is supposed to know. And the fact that you've said it puts me in a lot of hot water.
Lawrence went through so many different name changes. He was Dr. Seuss for such a long time, and do now he's Boxhall.
How many times I had to go by like Tim Hussein and Roger Hussein?
Roger Hussein.
Clarence Hussein.
And then you went Saddam Boxhall.
Yeah,
and
Saddam then Boxhall.
It all came together.
And then I was like, should we try Hodgkins? And that didn't work. And
no, that didn't work. So we tried Joanna Lumley. That
we
didn't
tried
work
Joanna
either.
Lumley? It was a lot.
Okay.
Well,
seriously, your father, who was in the British Army
at the time, yeah,
served in the Iraq War
twice.
Wow,
yeah.
Gosh.
It was either like 2002 or 2003. I'm pretty sure because I remember him being on deployment.
It is one of those. It is one of those. Years, correct.
I want to say 2002 because it was, I think, largely in response to 9/11, which is 2001. And I don't know how quickly he got the stuff turned around.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, was it 2002?
Well, let's go 2002 then.
It was 2003. Oh. But I'm going to give you that.
Oh, thank you.
So you're right on it. Because you're right, it was somewhat a response to 9/11.
Yeah.
Which, you're correct, happened in 2001.
Yeah.
But it sort of took the United States a little over a year and a half to get it together to... decide to declare war on
the wrong country,
on Iraq. Yes.
Yes.
Mm. So there were lots of people telling them that there was absolutely no connection whatsoever to Al Qaeda and the events of September 11. And indeed, there were no weapons of mass destruction, which was, you know, the other reason that was given for the invasion and the war. But they did it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if there's one thing we've learned from this podcast is that America has a listening problem, they would make not very good actors. Well, with the whole, you know, the sports team names and...
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Oh, now I'm feeling ganged up on. This is fun.
Don't feel ganged up on. That was quite astute, quite a lovely, astute observation there, Will.
But if you would like to see Will get ganged up on, Milked is playing at 45 Downstairs from the 28th of February to the 10th of March.
Oh, very good. Lawrence Boxall, William McKenna, thank you both so much for coming and doing
thank
the quiz.
Thank you, Johnny.
Break legs with
thank
Milked,
you, John Leary.
Which,
thank
as you said, has its first preview on the 28th and runs until the 10th of March. All right, fellas.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks a lot.
See you
bye.
Next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Quiz. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to Lawrence Boxall and William McKenna for being my guests today. As always, thank you to the very clever Cindy McDonald for writing the questions. This episode was recorded on the land belonging to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and acknowledge their traditions of sharing knowledge and stories for millennia on this land. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.